The Winnipeg Jets closed the regular season with their eighth straight win. The playoff schedule has been unveiled. The whiteout parties are ready to go. So we talked a lot about the Jets, and not just Jets 2.0, but we went back in time because there's a big Jets gala coming up that is honoring what one of our guests described as the most important team in the history of the Winnipeg Jets. And we also spoke to a member of that team from Finland. It's Friday, which means our weekly Gab with Gabby. Gabrielle Marchand from Global News Morning joined us. And we asked you, because we talked a lot about breakfast on Thursday, we asked you, what's your favorite place to go for breakfast? I'm Brett McGarry, alongside Greg Mackling. We are Mackling and McGarry, and this is the Friday, April 19th podcast for The Start. It is Mackling and McGarry, Friday. You know, just wondering here, is your vacation week next week have anything to do with the fact that the Stanley Cup playoffs
start? A total coincidence, and it's not even helping me that much. The Jets are playing Sunday night, which I'm very happy about, not at 8:45 Monday night, as was rumored for game one for the last few days. 6 o'clock Sunday, piece of cake for Monday. Now, 8:30 Tuesday, would that make Wednesday a little bit rough? Absolutely. But that's okay, because the Jets don't play again until Friday. So this benefits me very little, having next week off. It's probably the week after that I should have off, in terms of the implications and the possibilities of games 5, 6, and 7 interrupting my sleep, but that's okay. It's playoffs. Cannot wait. The first thing I saw today, out of the ordinary, coming up the escalator from the concourse level here at 201 Portage, in the lobby at 201, they've got a great big Go Jets Go sign.
Do they?
Yeah. Did you miss it?
I've been down there 4 times already this morning.
Right in between so there's the bank of elevators that take you up to as high as the 19th floor.
Yeah.
And then on the other side on the right, the bank of elevators we take, 19 to 30 or 20 to 30, whatever it is. Yeah, there's a great big Go Jets Go sign, Brett.
I can't believe you missed that. It's giant.
I walked past. Yeah, let's do the count. So I came in from the cab, walked past it there, yeah. and I've been down twice.
So three
for
times.
A vape.
Three times.
I totally missed it. Totally missed it. They were painting in one of the skywalks. It was the part of the skywalk that connects to City Place.
Oh, between the library.
Yeah.
Yeah, they paint that up so people don't hang out there, so they can't see into the block party.
Okay. Yeah, someone was in there painting a huge Go Jets Go
cool
sign that essentially spans the length of that stretch of skywalk.
Yeah. People are getting really, really excited. The Jets win again last night. I'm not even going to pretend to hold on to what happened last night. We'll have sounds of the game for you. Some very interesting firsts for several young Jets players last night. We'll get into that in the next segment. So it was 90s night at the rink last night. Very, very, very fun time for a lot of folks. Jets win their eighth consecutive game. But none of that matters now, Brett.
And I also learned something new about the ice hockey.
What's that? What'd you learn?
I learned about the William M. Jennings Trophy. I didn't know that was a thing. What is that, Greg?
That is the trophy that's awarded to the team with the best goals against average. Well, really, it's the fewest goals allowed over the course of the season. And the Jets were the only team which allowed under 200 goals this year. They allowed 199 goals. Florida Panthers allowed 200 goals. Okay. And unfortunately, for years, it was Ken Dryden and who was his backup? Bunny LaRocque.
Of course.
Would win the Jennings Trophy. And of course, Ken Dryden would play like 55 of the 72 games that they played back in the game, or 70 games, depending on that. There's a bunch of different game totals back in the day. And it was always Ken Dryden, Bunny LaRocque. Well, Bunny LaRocque like hardly ever played.
Okay.
Then they changed the rules. I don't know when. Now you've got to play a minimum of 25 games as your backup in order to get your name on the trophy. Laurent Brossoit, I think, started 23 games, including last night. So he clinches the trophy for the team with the win. doesn't get his name on it.
Ah. And I also learned that they call him the Bruss Wall.
This is new to me.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe it was just some.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw it this morning as I was sifting through the social media, but I saw Vezina Buck and the Bruss Wall. The
Bruss Wall, that's good. Of course, we had the Boulin Wall back in the 90s. Nikolai Habibulin.
Oh, yeah.
Jets goalie. So anything with wall in it, I think, is a pretty good nickname.
I still like Pokey and the Bandit.
Pokey and the Bandit. I was watching that 87 series the other day. Jets Flames when the Jets beat. Stop.
Okay, so we've got the sounds of the game coming up in our next segment. We've got Friday, 7:55, John Shannon report. And then, of course, Jets at Noon with Cam Poitras and Jim Toth. Oh, and what are we doing, Greg, at 8:30?
So I have my Winnipeg Jets WHA era jersey on today.
Cool.
We spoke to Jeff Kerbison, local author, sports enthusiast, absolute Jets fanatic since he was a little kid, bringing the 1975-76 Winnipeg Jets together coming up in May, a big gala dinner celebration, celebrating the history of that team, the impact of that team on professional hockey. One of the legends from that team, Veli Pekka-Katola, will join us at 8:35 from Finland. And if not for Anders Hedberg and Ulf Nilsson, I was looking at Veli's career totals as a Jet. He had like 183 goals in 238 games with the Jets in the WHA. That's impressive. But of course, he's overshadowed by these superstars, Hedberg and Nilsson. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that European influence and that relationship Winnipeg and Manitoba has with Finnish hockey players for the last 50 years.
For the final time in the 2023-2024 regular season, the Winnipeg Jets hit the ice at Canada Life Center. It was 90s night at the rink, and it was a game of several firsts for several Jets who were not yet born in the 90s.
Yeah, Manitoba Moose co-rookies of the year, forwards Brad Lambert and Nikita Chibrikov made their NHL debuts versus the Vancouver Canucks. Could they find more firsts on the ice? Let's find out. Canucks, Jets, these are your sounds of the game.
Teams will come to center ice to get it started. And the puck is dropped, and it's showtime from downtown Winnipeg. Grabbed again by Lambert, cutting the round and trying to get it back into where the corner it did around Myers. It came out in front. Vilardi waits up the goaltender, shoots and scores! Gabriel Vilardi will tie it at one, and what a shift by that line, especially Brad Lambert. Again for Pod Colson. He got taken off the puck of the Jets line. Back the other way, Appleton. Appleton 3-on-1. Appleton into where the slot. Moving in. Shot. They score! Cole Perfetti buries it off the rush. What a pass by Appleton. 55 seconds into the second period. And Winnipeg has their first lead of the night. It's 2-1 for the Jets. Picked off by Noah Juleson. Back inside that Winnipeg end. He'll come. Sweep it toward the net. Stopped there by Brossoit. Centered back out in front of the back hole. And a chip shot by Allman. And that's stopped again by Brossoit. Up top for Hughes. Back for Pettersson. Hash marks. Back into the slot for Hughes. Hughes shoots. Deflected in front. They score. A power play goal. It looks like Elias Lindholm will get it. And we're tied at 2. Winnipeg, after a puck, barreling after it there is Chibrikov. Down low for Niederreiter for Chibrikov. Out in front of shot. He scores! Well, this will not be a night to forget. Nikita Chibrikov with his first NHL goal in his first NHL game. And Winnipeg has a 3-2 lead. Yeah, yeah, yeah! Put it into where the slot. Intercepted by Perfetti to the empty net. He scores! Cole Perfetti with his second of the night, 19th of the year. It's an empty netter, and it's 4-2 Winnipeg.
Not bad at all. Not a bad way to wrap up a regular season. Very successful season. 52 wins, ties the 52 wins the Jets had in 17-18. Brad Lambert, an assist for his first ever NHL point. Chibrikov with a goal in his debut. And two goals from youngster Cole Perfetti. And the Jets got 4 of the 9 scoring points awarded from players or two players born. All born in the 2000s, Brett, if you want to feel just a little bit older.
You shut up, you.
So that's 8 straight wins to wind up the regular season. Now the fun really begins. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, Colorado Avalanche come to town for the first game of a best-of-7 series. Game 2 goes Tuesday night, 8:30. Adjust your Wednesday work and school schedules accordingly, folks. On the way up the escalator, I mentioned the big banner. Go Jets, go. The cow on top of Lafroy Majere on Provencher already has a Jets jersey on.
Oh, yeah?
And I suspect the car dealerships will start moving the inventory of white cars up to the front of their lots as they've done over the years in celebration and preparation for the whiteout.
Before we do anything else here, we just handed out some tickets for AEW, All Elite Wrestling. Jeff Fortier and Master Control, who won those tickets?
Andy Tatorin.
Andy, enjoy yourself at the wrestling show on May 1st, Canada Life Center. We have Burt Block Party tickets to give away at 7:45. But for this segment, we're going to tell you how you can win either tickets for Star Wars A New Hope, live in concert, WSO, Centennial Concert Hall on May 3rd, that's the sold-out show, both the Friday and Saturday. Another sold-out show, the Whiteout Parties. Game 1 and 2, the tickets went on sale on Wednesday. They sold out like lickety-split. But we've got a 4-pack to give away this morning on the start. We also have 4-packs to give away on Connecting Winnipeg with Hal Anderson, on the Jim Toth Show, and on the news with Rich and Julie. But or is it on Jets at Noon, Cam? Do you guys have the 4-pack, or does Jim have it on his show?
It's on Jim's show.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So we're going to continue the discussion on breakfast and make ourselves hungry, and we're going to probably regret it. But we just want to ask you a simple question. What's your favorite place for breakfast? Whether it's in Winnipeg or maybe it's a place you went for breakfast on vacation. Hopefully you've got a local place and a vacation place. But Sarah, why don't we start with Sarah McCarthy, who's back in the saddle after a little sabbatical. But we do need to ask the question before anything else. How is the new Taylor Swift album?
It's good. I've been trying to make my way through. I did not stay up late to listen to it.
What time did it arrive?
11 p.m. our time. So still couldn't do it.
I just saw the pandemonium on X as a bunch of people were losing their minds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Tortured Poets Department. So I'm like 11 songs in.
You said it's sad.
It's pretty sad, but it's good. The lyrics. She's a lyric master. That's my review so far.
Okay.
Lyric master, there's a grammatical error.
Oh my gosh.
In the title.
Do we want to talk about breakfast?
Let's get to breakfast.
It's monster feed or not?
What's the grammatical error?
Well, poets should have an apostrophe because possessive.
You
watched it though.
It's
you called
plural.
It.
It's not possessive.
It doesn't matter.
You watched it anyway. You can't. You say there's a grammatical. What's a?
Well, I said it wrong.
So
I'm digging myself a big hole here. I want to move on.
Yeah. That's not your decision, Brett. Can we move on,
Sarah? Let's talk breakfast.
For breakfast, I love breakfast, and I recently went to Pauline Bistro on Marion.
Sorry, now what's it called?
Pauline Bistro.
Okay.
No S.
Not ever.
No apostrophe.
Not ever heard of it.
Pauline Bistro. And I had the brioche cinnamon bun French toast.
Oh, get out of town.
With a strawberry compote and whipped cream. And I also got a side of bacon. I got to do like a savory sweet situation. I always have to.
I've never heard of this place.
Neither have I. Where is it?
On Marion.
Yeah, no. Can you be more specific?
Is it beside Pasquale's?
It's attached to something.
So like
my
across from the Norwood?
Yes.
Oh, in the Norwood Hotel.
Okay. Yes, it's in there.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
There
you
it is.
You can technically
yep.
sit on either side, and yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's right beside the Wood Tavern.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay.
That's a nice spot, actually.
Yeah.
No, it looks super nice in there.
I will be back.
Okay. Cam, what about you?
Well, my favorite place I'd always go with my dad. It's not around anymore, but if anybody like East Kildonan, Elmwood, East St. Paul, NK, was Rick's Hot Rod Diner on Henderson Highway. Rick was the best egg cooker in perhaps Western Canada. Sometimes I like mine over medium, very specific. I'll eat them anyway. I don't really care. But usually when you say over medium, they're either going to be too hard or too runny. He always had them absolutely perfect. And always had great memories with my dad having breakfast there. But we would afterwards now, the breakfast spot. We used to call it Lee's on DeVries. It's at the Legion. It's on Maxwell King Drive now, but it's just before the perimeter on Henderson Highway heading northbound.
You're not allowed to mention two.
Well, I can mention it's mentioned. I didn't know that was a rule.
Because that's mine.
That you was yours?
Stole mine.
That's a great spot. It's a great spot for breakfast. It's packed.
My boy cooks in the kitchen there now.
There you go.
On Saturdays and Sundays.
Really?
He's whipping up the vittles at Lee's on DeVries.
Now I know when to avoid it.
That's going to make him
fired.
So sad.
I'm joking.
He really likes you.
Oh, I'm joking.
Your Jets program.
I'm joking. It's like when he says, like, they're learning how to drive. You go, okay, let me know so I'll avoid the roads at that time. That's all I'm saying. I was there on a Sunday just recently, and it was fantastic. So I'm sure your boy was cooking, and it was delicious.
God. Forte?
You know, I like going for breakfast after a night out on the town. And you need something greasy. And I miss Perkins. There used to be Perkins on Henderson.
Oh, Perkins!
My brother. That was my brother's first job, actually. He was a cook at Perkins, but it's no longer there. Or else you have to get a nip from Salisbury House.
Yeah.
That's also... very good.
Perkins used to have the tremendous 12, and we would go. So we would often go to Perkins after the bar, and that's back when the Perkins was packed. This before the smoking ban, the Perkins, every single one of them was just full. And my buddy would order the tremendous 12, but he would always ask, "Can I just get 12 eggs?"
Oh my word.
They never did.
No.
They wouldn't allow it. They're like, come on, man. Like, you can have four eggs and whatever.
Just bring them in the carton.
Four is enough.
He would have eaten it, too, if they would have brought him the 12 eggs. Oh, okay, great. So, Mackling, yours is gone?
Yeah, Lee's. Yeah, but back in the day, Country Kitchen was an all-time favorite. It took forever to get served at Country Kitchen to get your food. You place your order.
Is it just eggs and toast and stuff?
Yeah. It was basically like the precursor to Denny's and Perkins. It was exactly the same thing. And what was interesting, though, was they had this bank of numbers, and I guess each server had a number. And so this was a precursor to maybe a pager or the ability to communicate with your servers electronically another way. And so you would watch. You had no idea what your server's number was, but you would watch for the bell and the number to come up, because that means they were bringing somebody's food up. Didn't mean yours. There was no clue, but it was just side entertainment.
And for mine, I'm also going to bring us to Marion, but slightly less fancy than your choice, Sarah.
Johnny's.
You went to Pauline. Yeah, the Pauline. I'm going Johnny's. It is a hole in the wall. It is kind of a beat up old place, and that's perfectly fine. It's just how I like it, because the food is, it's just basic, greasy breakfast. They do the shredded potatoes, which is the only way I like hash browns, unless it's in the form of like a patty, like a McDonald's hash brown patty. But yeah, I just love it. It's so good, so greasy. Although, and I would also point out Larder's Golf Course.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they get their bacon.
I can tell you where they get their bacon.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best bacon I've ever had there. So I don't often eat breakfast before I go play golf, but if I have time, if I'm playing a Larder's, I will stop there and have breakfast.
Larder's has great pizza, too.
I've heard they've got amazing
pizza.
They've
got really good pizza.
It's good to hear. That's where we get our Christmas dinner from.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Shout out to Chef at Larder's. Does great stuff up there.
So just I wanted to give you a heads up. We got word from one of our listeners that Ecole Taché is closed today because they're having some issues at the school. I haven't been able to confirm with the school, but just wanted to give you that heads up. Also the heads up that we have tickets for the Burt Block Party, which we'll give away just after 7:50 before our Friday Jets Report with John Shannon. We also have tickets for the Whiteout Party, Game 1. We've got a 4-pack. Or Star Wars in concert with the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra, Friday, May 3rd. These are both sold-out events. So if you want to get tickets, you got to win them. And we're asking you this morning, where do you like to go for breakfast? What does Inger say?
My favorite place to go out for breakfast is Stella's, especially the one on Provencher, if I can sit on the patio. Not today, though.
Yeah. Not doing that today. Shannon, what does Shannon say?
For me, it was Dutch Meat on Portage Avenue. They had the best breakfast and amazing ice cream. They also had a location on Osborne. Yep, many of us will remember those. Shannon says, I loved it so much. One of my first jobs was working there. The owner was a Creek gentleman named George. His wife, Chrissy, daughter, Penny, worked there for a very long time until they closed.
And I would also, another one that I forgot about is the French Way on Lilac, just off Cordon.
All right.
It's I've been there a couple of times, and their breakfast was since, I remember they had some sort of, it was like a vegetarian omelet. I was dating a vegetarian at the time, so she ordered that, and I was looking at the menu and thought, that sounds good, and it was fantastic. But the danger of going to the French Way is while you're sitting there eating your breakfast, is they have their counter of all their pastries.
Yes.
So you stare
as well, right?
Yeah, it's a cafe and bakery. So you stare at the pastries and you're like, I don't normally do pastries, but when you go to an actual bakery, there is you have to leave with something. So yeah, you get yourself in trouble going there.
Double whammy.
The Winnipeg Jets begin their quest for their first ever Stanley Cup on Sunday. Their opposition is former Quebec Nordiques, whom the Jets lost the 1976-77 Avco Cup championship.
Yeah, that still stings. This morning is about celebrating the achievements and the impact of the 1975-76 WHA champs on the world of professional hockey.
Joining us in studio is Jeff Kerbison. And Jeff, you have quite the event planned for next month. Tell us all about it.
Well, the highlight is a gala dinner at the Fort Garry Hotel featuring a dozen of the players from the 1975-76 team. That includes Ulf Nilsson and Veli-Pekka Ketola and Heksi Riaranta and Peter Sullivan and Norm Bowden. Bill Asuk, players like that. And so we are going to have a Jet player at every table. We're going to have a video presentation showing how great these guys were and how important they were to the city. We're going to have a memorabilia auction to support the True North Youth Foundation. And it's going to be a time machine. There's going to be a bunch of people there traveling back to the mid-70s to relive their youth. And I think the most important thing to say, or one of the most important things to say about this event, is that this is the most important team in Winnipeg Jets history. And people might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I think that, like, was the 78 team better when Kent Nilsson is your number two center? Maybe. But here's why. Give me a second here to tell you why they're the most important. So after the 74-75 season, and the Jets missed the playoffs, and they've got four Swedes and two Finns, and they missed the playoffs by a couple points. And then critics said, you have to get rid of the Europeans and bring in more Canadians. And the Jets management stood firm, kept them. The 76 team was the top team in the league. They had 106 points. They rolled through the playoffs, swept Gordie Howe and the Houston Aeros in the final 4-0. They went 12-1 in the playoffs. And then they lost in 77, as we said. They won again in 78 with that team. But if the Jets blow up the European experiment after the first season, they don't win in 76. And then they don't win in 78 when they've got a Euro-heavy team also. And then they wouldn't have had Hedberg and Nilsson leaving after 78 and those guys be replaced by Terry Ruskowski and Rich Preston, which led to the third Avco Cup title. There's no Avco Cup titles. The Jets aren't making the NHL in 79. And if they don't make the NHL in 79, then there's no team that leaves in 96, which gets replaced by the Minnesota Moose, by Mark Chipman, who came out of the Save the Jets campaign. And then the Manitoba Moose played in the MTS Center starting 2004. Without the MTS Center, now the Canada Life Center, there's no return of the Jets of the NHL to Winnipeg in 2011. No whiteout parties this week. So the 1976 team is the most important team in Winnipeg hockey history.
So let's speak to one of the members of that team, one of my very favorite players of all time, Veli-Pekka Ketola, joining us from Finland. Veli, this is an absolutely mind-blowing opportunity here. Great to speak with you. Good morning and good afternoon.
Thank you very much, and it was very nice to hear, you know, how good we were.
Well, you're one of the greatest hockey teams. One of the greatest hockey teams of all time.
Yeah, I think so, you know, because it puts me better than Teemu, you know, if we talked that we had the best team, but we really had a good team, you know, we had seven brilliant Swedes and two, how could I say it, almost as good Finns. So we had nine Europeans, the best time, and we had, and of course, number nine, Big Poppy Hall. He was one of the greatest players I ever seen. Oh, he was good. But really, we had a good team. I agree about that, you know, that we played good hockey and we played European hockey because it wasn't so easy to play European hockey at that time because some teams, they had several coons in their teams and it was pretty tough for us. But Poppy said to us that when we play European style, we move the puck, we win the games, and we won. And he was right. It was a good team.
Talk about that, Veli. Like the last time Jeff was here, we had a short conversation about just how tough Anders Hedberg and Ulf Nilsson were, how tough you and Heksi Ryöranta were. You took a ton of extracurricular punishment on the ice. Just talk about how teams would try and slow you down and not exactly the most legal fashion.
You know, it wasn't so hard to me because I was big enough to handle myself. So I didn't like to fight. I mean, I did what I had to do. I just take care of myself. But like Ulf, and especially Ulf, because he was so smart hockey player, and he kept a puck lot. And those I can't call them all the goons, but you know, they didn't realize how good Ulf is, and when they always try to hit him, over play puck to right or left, that it was breakaway. So they couldn't play against this line because they moved the puck so well. And like Uffe, almost after every game, he had 10 back cold packs on his arms and legs all over the body because he really got punishment. I mean, I have never seen it, but it helped because next year came a couple of tough guys who took care about this little bit. But Uffe was so smart, but he wasn't so strong hockey player. He was brilliant. His head was so brilliant. He played that kind of hockey and he couldn't protect himself because he wasn't strong enough. But it helped when we got a couple of guys who took care a little bit of Uffe, and of course he got 130, 140 points every year. So it was great to watch. And when Uffe get fired, I came on the ice.
Well, you know, and so it's you, it's Heksi Ryöranta, it's Kurt Larson, Marcus Mattsson, start this Finnish relationship. You know, we can put the Finns, the Swedes aside for a minute, Veli, but, you know, Teppo Numminen and, of course, Teemu Selänne, two of the most beloved hockey players in the history of anything in Winnipeg, baseball, football, hockey. And so that genuine relationship between Winnipeg and Finland began with you. Talk about your relationship with Winnipeg.
Yeah, my relationship in Winnipeg, it's great. I mean, I got great friends. I still have, now we are getting a little bit older, like our dentist, Gene Solmundson. He was one of those great guys. Of course, Don Paisley, who was the lawyer almost everybody here in Finland and in Sweden. He was, I mean, he was amazing. It's hard to see and have this kind of friend like he was to all European hockey players. He was just unbelievable. And it's, then we had some Harry Delu. He was good friend with me and Heksi and, of course, all Swedes. So we had a lots of friends in Winnipeg, and to me it was a really great time. I didn't play that well. I would like to play, but the ice time wasn't too much for me because, of course, Uffe was so much better than I was. So
I'm going to jump in. Veli, I'm going to jump in here. You played three seasons here. You had 23, yeah. 32, and 25 goals as a Jet. I mean, you're kidding me, right? You were an outstanding performer. It just so happened you just happened to be playing in the shadows of two of the best players of all time. You got to be a little easier on yourself, man.
Yeah, I agree. But still, you know, it was I was part of the team, and I I like to play in this team because it was by far the best team I have ever played. Of course, I have played in Europe and hockey it was so much. I mean, the hockey wasn't so much better that time, but it was so tough and rough, and it was so different what it was in Finland that time, because those hockey games that time, they used to be like boxing or wrestling or whatever. But nowadays, because I watch every games, I really have time, I watch NHL. And NHL would be much, it is much better today. But if we put our team to that league, we wouldn't be even better, because it's only skating, shooting, stick handling. And, you know, of course, there's rough stuff, but it's more fair. It's more fair. It's not like backjacking and cross-checking, and, you know, it wasn't. It is different. It was today. So hockey today, it's by far better than. Talk about hockey sense. So it was different, because that time there were so many. Goon sometimes it wasn't even hockey sometimes.
I wish we didn't have to cut this off. Time is against us, but this is part of the conversation you can have one-on-one with Veli-Pekka Ketola, Heksi Rearanta. Who else is going to be there, Jeff? How can we get tickets?
Ulf Nilsson, Norm Bowden, Bill Lasuk, Bobby Guindon, Joe Daly, Mike Ford, Lyle Moffitt. I'm going to forget somebody. And we've got a website.
Cool.
Thanks to my daughter, Mia. 1975-76 Winnipeg Jets Reunion.com. So you can go there for more information and for tickets. And it's going to be a time machine. It's going to be great. We're going to have these players. They're all arriving in less than 3 weeks. So when we're going out to the whiteout parties, we should be raising a glass to the most important team in Winnipeg hockey history.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Jeff. Veli, thank you for this. Look forward to seeing you in a few
weeks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It is Mackling and McGarry, last chance to get in on an opportunity to win either a 4-pack of tickets for the whiteout party on Sunday, or for WSO, Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra, Star Wars, A New Hope in concert on Friday, May 3rd. We're asking you, where do you like to go for breakfast? Kim says, if you want to start your day with a great brekkie, glampers, campers, and cottagers, go to the Nighthawk Cafe at West Hawk Lake. And I second that. I have not had breakfast there, but I have had their burgers and fries. They have some of the best fries anywhere. So I would imagine their breakfast would also be second to none.
It's a good gauge. It's like a clean washroom. If you have a clean washroom in your restaurant, I'm feeling super confident about what you're doing behind the scenes. It's a telltale. It's a good calling card.
Good fries?
Good fries, same thing.
All right.
You can nail the fries. Everything else is gravy.
And you know what else is gravy, Mr. Mackling? Our in-studio guest.
She's the gravy on your fries.
I'm the queen of gravy.
She's the dancing game of your virtual hockey game. It's Gabrielle Marchand. She is the anchor of Global News Morning. Now, 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
to 9 a.m.
To 9 a.m.
Global News
Morning.
But there's other ways to get you now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to help you promote your product.
I don't know what you're trying to promote. That's a problem. What are you trying to...
I don't have to just tune into CKND television, Channel 9, Cable 12 anymore. Is there other places to find you now?
You can watch it on an app. We have an app, the Global News app.
There it is.
Yeah, check out the Global News app.
Perfect.
I'm so sorry.
There it is. Find Winnipeg.
Please don't fire me.
Look for Winnipeg, Global News app. And then you'll see Gabby doing all her great... things.
I don't deserve
whatever
you.
Whatever you want. On demand.
I don't deserve you. On demand.
On demand.
Yeah.
All right. So we like to bring Gabby in to review some of our week's topics. Buyer's remorse is one we discussed this week. This is after the guy who, he was the winning bidder on that big crate of Opeachy hockey cards that may or may not contain 25 to 30 Wayne Gretzky rookie cards. and he bid and won with $3.7 million, and now he's got buyer's remorse. He's trying to unload the collection, and he's even reached out to Wayne Gretzky himself.
Oh, my goodness.
Buyer's remorse. What have you experienced, Gabby?
I need to set the scene for this one. The year is 2006. I'm 16 years old. I have some gel nails and a constant ridiculous teenager.
Now?
What's 300, 350? Yeah,
oh,
I don't
man.
Know. A lot of money.
I think you round down for your mom.
Sorry. I think it was about $75. So,
yeah, sure.
Oddly satisfying chores inspired by Greg enjoying his time with the pressure washer outdoors over the weekend. What's an oddly satisfying chore for you?
May I just ask though, do you have a pressure washer?
Yes, I do.
If you want me to clean your car, Brett, if you want me to clean your car, you guys just call me over. Anybody listening, I love using a pressure washer. It's so fun.
It is so fun.
Satisfying.
It's oddly satisfying because once you get started on a chore, you have to finish. And so it begins oddly satisfying. And then it's like, okay, I'm kind of getting bored now, but I'm enjoying it nonetheless.
I love vacuuming. I remember Leave It to Beaver in the movie. This was the remake, I think. He said to June Beaver, June, you're vacuuming in pearls. You know what that does to me. And I always think about that every time.
Hold on.
Senior Beaver talking to his wife.
Oh,
she's
Ward.
Ward Beaver talking to his wife as she's vacuuming in pearls. Oh, you know what that does to me. I always think about that for some reason every time
they
I'm vacuuming. Leave
It to Beaver movie?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Well, it wasn't amazing. You probably didn't see it for a reason, but yeah, I like, you could, do you guys like vacuuming? Does anyone enjoy vacuuming other than me?
You know what? It's funny. I do, but it depends on the carpet, because my parents, their basement, they've got this, I don't know how old the carpet is now. It's brown, but the bristles are sort of a bit longer and a bit thick, but when you run the vacuum over, it's like the pattern on a baseball diamond.
Yes.
Or on a golf course where you've got the grass going one way where it's a darker shade and then lighter than the other. So I would sometimes vacuum like the same spot just over and over and over again because I was trying to get it perfect.
Yeah, of course.
So I found that fun. But if the carpet's lame, like my apartment carpet is kind of lame and it's just like boring to vacuum.
Boring.
Yeah.
What are those shirts that you can get like with the hearts and the different stuff? And they've got the sequins on them. And so if you rub it one way, it's like a solid thing. And then you brush it up the other way. It's another picture altogether.
It changes colors.
That's thinking I want one something of those. Like that all of a sudden.
Yeah. Or your version is almost like raking those little those Zen sand gardens. You know how you'd rake them? You do that with vacuuming. You're making patterns in your carpet. That's so nice.
Yeah, it's fun. And by the way, the Augusta, the Masters was last week.
Yes.
The way they achieve their signature solid emerald green that you don't see anywhere else, they only send their lawnmowers in one direction.
One direction.
They send out a SWAT team of Armadas.
What?
At one, from green to tea. It's always the same
Just
direction.
One cut. All at once?
I guess so. I don't know how they do it, but yeah.
Christine. They drive all the way and then they get in the cart path, they go all the way back and they do it again.
I have questions. There are follow-up questions. We're going to need to Google things.
Gabrielle Marchand is the host and anchor of Global News Morning weekdays, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Global Winnipeg. Gabby, always a treat. Thank you.
Happy Friday, you guys. Thank you so much.
One more weather note from Gloria, who says, just drove to work in Dauphin through 8 inches of snow-packed roads in Riding Mountain National Park. And on the breakfast subject, Gloria says, the White House in Wasagaming. Yep, that was my initiation was this past summer. Great breakfast at the White House. And I know that cinnamon buns are legendary. I didn't want cinnamon buns. I wanted bacon.
Bacon.
It was good.
Eggs, toast.
So we're asking you about your favorite places to eat breakfast. Because we've got stuff to give away, Whiteout Party Passes for Sunday or WSO Star Wars A New Hope. Both of these are sold out hot ticket shows. One of our precursor runners up here, Greg, is Lance.
Yep, best breakfast downtown. It's at Furby and Broadway at Wannabe's. Karen cooks up a great breakfast plate, whether it be bacon and eggs, French toast, or pancakes. Keith serves up one of the best and continuous cups of coffee. There's more to read on her walls than an Egyptian tomb. And Karen's antiquities are her window ledges adorned with eclectic collection of salt and pepper shakers. And number two is Eddie's Place on Selkirk Avenue. Again, not a place to necessarily be after dark, but here you can get a great North End breakfast and watch some of the old timers play billiards on one of two full-size billiard tables in the restaurant.
And we actually had a couple of passionate votes for Eddie's Place. And the next one, Greg, comes from Karen, who really, you could feel the passion. So Karen is a runner-up this morning. So Karen's going to get a prize. What did Karen say about Eddie's?
This long-loved restaurant in the North End has the best breakfast food that will start your day off right. Bacon cooked perfectly, by the way, but it's also the best environment. Where else would you have two full-sized snooker tables in the middle of your restaurant and all the entertainment that goes with it? The seating booths are iconic from the past owner, Eddie Koronicki, and all the memorabilia that captures our beloved North End. The staff are welcoming of all the people and keep the neighborhood vibrant with their quick wit and conversations with great coffee. Karen, I know my dad would second your motion.
That's wonderful, Karen. But our winner today is Paul, who says, I consider myself a breakfast aficionado. Having worked outside in the 70s and 80s, Winnipeg was host to a multitude of restaurants proclaiming theirs was the best breakfast special. The Spud Stop, P&T, Nettie's, The Thunderbird, and Nick's Inn in Headingley, to name but a few. Unfortunately, very few remain today. Fast forward to the present. Having traveled the continent and sampled numerous offerings, I have decided the hidden gem of the breakfast world is the Headingley Grill, where I devour their crispy bacon, half-pound pan-fried potatoes, eggs cooked to perfection, and a staff that supplies the right amount of ambiance in which to indulge your morning cravings. It's worth the drive to Headingley. Paul, you win. You get to pick Whiteout Party or Star Wars with the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra.
I confess I've not been to Headingley Grill.
There are so many, and like, if you sent us a text this morning and we have not responded, it's simply because we were overrun with amazing suggestions, a whole bunch of places I've never heard of. Have you ever heard of the Thirsty Duck?
I have not.
Apparently it's at Stadacona and Johnson.
Oh, come on. That's, like, yeah, I should have heard of that.
And another person mentioned the Garwood Grill. Mm-hmm. I've been there for lunch and it was amazing. So I'm sure their breakfast food is terrific as well. So, yeah, hopefully we made a few people hungry to head out and enjoy themselves some tasty breakfast food.
Go out and support your local restaurateur.
Our next guest has been helping make Winnipeg beautiful, one hairdo at a time, for 25 years.
Yeah, I have to say, Brett, she makes my wife Jackie look like a movie star every time she sits in her hair at Evalure Hair Salon. She's simply a pro, owner, stylist, hair artist. Marina Mello Cabral joins us in studio this morning. Good morning, Marina.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
A little disappointed you didn't bring clippers or scissors. I was hoping that maybe you could cut my hair whilst we do this.
And this is a great room to do it. I love it up here.
So we brought you in today to discuss something you're doing to support the Dream Factory for the fifth time. We'll get into that in a moment, but we have to address a couple things.
Sure.
First thing, you and I have overcome our natural rivalry, you being a Tech Voc grad, me being a Daniel Mac grad. So we've overcome that over the last 15 years, so which is good. But I had no idea until 7 minutes ago that what you went to Tech Voc for, and shame on me for not knowing this, is the fact that you wanted to be in broadcasting.
Yes.
Talk about that one. When did you decide that and what ended that dream?
I just always liked the news and I liked hearing about, you know, what was going on in the world. And I found it fascinating and just thought that that was something that I would really enjoy. And then once I started taking it at Tech Voc, it was something that I thought this for sure I could do. And then something pulled me towards hair instead.
Well, you're like a little mini broadcaster at the salon. You're always on top of what's going on and speaking with everybody. And Brett, you and I have had this conversation for years about the relationship that we have with the people that have their fingers in our hair.
Yeah, like I've been going to the same barber His name is Joe. It's at Tony's Barbershop on Regent Avenue in Transcona since I was 11. And so I kind of look forward to our monthly visit and get his insight on the Jets or the Bombers or whatever's happening and get the lowdown on what's going on in T-Kona. So can you maybe just speak to that bond that you have with your customers in that if you can get the long-term customers that keep coming back?
They become family. I mean, we know their life. We know their children. They know ours. They've supported us. I mean, we've gone through a lot in the last few years, especially with pandemic, and the support that we have from our clients that bring food to our table and bring happiness to our lives. It's what makes my job more meaningful. And we thank you guys for that support and the loyalty.
Well, loyalty is huge, but you earn that loyalty. So what is it like? Like, I don't know what it's like. Somebody comes in, like when I come in to see you, typically I have a hat on and I'm at the point in my cycle of haircuts where I don't really want anybody to see me looking the way I do. And then by the 15, 20 minutes later, I want everybody to see me. So what's it like to help people in that sort of make them feel their best?
Well, I think that's why any stylist would agree that this is why we chose this profession. It's that before and after. It's a great feeling to make somebody feel great and look great when they're leaving. I think it's important. Mental health, you want to look great. And again, to look great or to feel great, looking great is a huge part of that.
Well, you mentioned pandemic troubles, and I'm curious to know what you went through, because I know when the restrictions, the first time that your industry had to shut down,
yes,
when the restrictions were announced, I think Brent Rusin was in the process of announcing that hair salons and barbershops can reopen, and I was already on the phone with my barber trying to get hold of my barber. Can I get in?
Yeah.
Did you go through that too?
It was push come to shove. It was, you know, I remember, and it was three times that we would put Brent on. The whole salon would just quiet because we're waiting to hear who's next to be shut down. And every time it didn't get any easier, it got worse. However, we got stronger and we just said, we've done this. We can do it again. I hoped for not a fourth one and prayed for not a fourth one, but we got through it. And I'm grateful, and it's sad the way it all happened, but I'm over it. Move on.
Did you get that avalanche of phone calls?
Oh my goodness. We got that. Can you come cut my hair in my garage? Can we, you know, whatever. People were desperate. And I mean, there was one period, I believe it was the second shutdown, it was 11 weeks. So think of how often you go to get your hair cut and add 11 weeks to that, right? So it is what it is at this point. Now we can just move forward from it.
So we mentioned Dream Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Before we find out what you're doing, why are you doing it?
Oh, Greg. Okay. I'm doing it for my brother. Sorry.
Nothing to be sorry for.
Okay. So my brother Johnny was diagnosed at 15 with cancer. And the Dream Factory made his wish come true. And I'm forever grateful for what they do and for the happiness that they put on his face. Johnny passed at 22. 7 years later, and it's been 15 years now since he's gone. And when I opened the salon, I promised that I would do a charity event in his honor. And the Dream Factory is who we will always support.
When is this happening, this cut-a-thon?
It is happening Sunday, May 5th from 10 to 4. And we actually have two locations. I have our salon, Avalour Salon, at 1413 Henderson Highway. And then we have our friends over at The Hair Company, who will also be hosting at 3111 Birds Hill Road. And together, we will combine totals at the end of the day, and all haircuts will be donated to the Dream Factory.
Okay, so $25 is the price, but that's the minimum, right?
Yes.
You can pay a lot more if you want.
You can pay a lot more. We'll have some little auction prizes put aside. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to have face painters, some princesses. some tailgating in our parking lot, some food, just a lot of excitement going on. A DJ. We're going to have a little girl who's makes her own bracelets, and she's donating 50% of that towards the Dream Factory as well. And again, lots of support, and it's a great event.
Why is it so important? I mean, your personal story, I had to ask. I didn't want to make you cry today, but now I'm crying.
It's okay.
Just being an entrepreneur is, I know how you feel about it. I know you're very grateful. You've expressed that to me over the years. You've expressed it this morning. Creating and generating that loyalty amongst your clientele is one thing. But why do you think it's important to give back to the community, just in a broad sense?
I think it's something that, you know, I'm grateful for where we are at in life. And if we can help others, then great. I mean, that's how we carry forward. And I believe that this is what the world needs. We need more people to help and donate their time, especially for example, Olivia is who the child who we're trying to help make her wish come true. She's 4 years old and she's been battling cancer. She's in remission right now, and her dream is to go to mermaid school in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
So this is what we're trying to do.
Is there a price tag attached to that?
Yes.
How much is that?
So the average dream can be anywhere between $15,000 and $18,000. Our salon, in four events that we've hosted, we've raised over $50,000. So I have an amazing group of ladies who I am so blessed to have, and they work their butts off on the day of the cut-a-thon. So super grateful.
So when you hear about events like this, there's always a story behind it.
Yes.
Very similar, not exactly the same as, but similar to Marina. So really wanted to highlight not only what you were doing, Marina, but just the fact that there are so many businesses out there that go out of their ways. They'll take an entire day of revenue or an entire day or two to just donate their time and their services in kind to something that's important to them and important to the community. So thanks for not only helping us highlight what you're doing, but what dozens, hundreds of businesses do all the time in our community. And so thank you for doing that.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Marina Mello Cabral from Evalure Hair Salon. And if you want more information on the cut-a-thon, which is happening on Sunday, May 5th from 10 until 4, you can get all that information and learn more about Olivia's journey at thedreamfactory.ca.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.